Hi, I'm Siobhan Sarna with SIBO SOS. Remember that SOS has come to mean save ourselves. Working with smart people and practitioners who know what they're doing, of course, and bonding as a group in the SIBO SOS community now. Over 19,000 people are there helping each other, and it's a beautiful thing. So you can find that on Facebook, the SIBO SOS. I think it's a virtual community. Today, it's such an honor to have our dear friend to the community, Kiran Krishnan, microbiologist, who is a family man, as well as an incredible educator. You know, a lot of people, scientists, are like in the lab, right? And then there are other people who are teachers. But what if you could put those two qualities together and make Kiran Krishnan? He's also prompting some of the most intriguing, interesting, and prolific research into the microbiome. And a lot of studies coming out very recently, and some prompt like really coming out very soon. They're super practical in ways that the microbiome is impacting our health and our lives. If you have never tried Megaspore, it is something that I swear by. Not everything is for everybody. We get that. But you should definitely look into it. It's at microbiomelabs.com, what we were talking about. And without further ado, we're going to talk about the gut-brain connection with Kiran Krishnan. Hello, sir.
Hi, Siobhan. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Quickly, tell me about some of the research that you've recently done and what are you excited about in the future? And then we'll dive into the topic.
Yeah. So as it relates to gut-brain connection, we've recently partnered with a fantastic company called Novozymes that has a huge, amazing library of strains and an amazing R&D group, a global R&D group. So we've been able to partner with them to really advance clinical and laboratory research on especially understanding the gut-brain axis. So we've been working on a couple new approaches to it that add on well to what the spores already do to support the gut-brain communication and support a healthy brain through a healthy gut. And we could talk about how all that happens. But there's lots of exciting research coming on with how you can modulate mood and stress response and sleep quality, duration, latency, all of these effects just by making changes in the gut. And it's all absolutely connected. And the gut is, absolutely a driver and controller of the brain. So we've got a lot of research coming out on that. Some of the strains that we're working with now through our partnership with Novozymes already have half a dozen studies published on them, on their ability to affect mood and sleep quality and so on. And then you pair it with the spores and dealing with leaky gut, then you really have a powerful solution for people.
Wow. You know, if someone's new and they're like, you know, I want to know about the microbiome, will you just explain, as you're doing your talk about the brain and the gut, I'll just explain about the spores, because there's a lot of confusion, as you know so well. You've done so much to dispel the myths around spore-based probiotics, how they don't need to be refrigerated, why the strains that you work with are so special. So just as you're talking, just incorporate that, because I know we have a lot of new people here, if you would. Thanks. Sure.
Yeah. Well, and let me say some initial things then about the spores to give people a kind of a baseline understanding, right? Spores are kind of the quintessential example of symbiogenesis. So what does that mean? It sounds like a big fancy word, right?
Yeah.
So symbiogenesis is this really cool process that occurs over time when different organisms, and we're talking about even a human and a bacteria, that are completely different organisms, when they're forced to coexist due to geographic constraints and so on, over time, they tend to produce a symbiotic relationship, right? Because it betters the community, it betters the ecosystem in that area if the organisms that are prevalent in that area are functioning in a symbiotic way. Now, there's always going to be some degree of competition within that whole ecosystem as well. And competition is good in general for ecosystems. But symbiogenesis is a factor of the human condition. We have evolved in a realm full of microbes, right? And keep in mind that the microbes were here well before we were, right? So we've been here for a couple million years. The microbes have been here arguably for about 2 billion years. So they were here well, well before we were. And in fact, all our cells are made up of microbes as well, right? So our cells, our human cell, have mitochondria in them. The mitochondria are basically ancient pleiotropic bacteria. So our cells are all made up of ancient bacteria cells. And it has its own DNA and it's unique, and that's a whole episode on its own. But the important thing to note is that we have a very important symbiotic relationship with the microbes around us, in us, on us, and so on. Spores represent a really clear vision and function of that symbiogenesis, right? So what has occurred over millions of years is that when we live in the environment, we get exposed to loads and loads of bacteria. There are some bacteria, in this case, the Bacillus endospores, that have developed the capability of offering us a lot of beneficial effects. And in turn, what we've done is we've allowed the spores to inhabit our system, right? So we're saying, hey, we're gonna give you a space to exist. And then in return, you're gonna clean up that space and do this, that, and the other, right? So that's how we've co-evolved with the spores. In fact, lots of critical functions that are absolutely essential to the health of our digestive system and the structure of our digestive system, the function of the digestive system, we've outsourced to these spores because we can't do it ourselves, right? Because nature assumed we'd be living in symbiosis with organisms for most of humanity. Nature did not predict that we'd be in these concrete jungles in sterile environments and not getting exposure to these organisms. So spores function differently. It's a matter, it's a technique of kind of going back to the basics of just exposing ourselves to the things that we've been designed to get exposed to, right? And it's just that simple. It's no different than drinking water and breathing air. These are things that we've evolved to do and we've evolved to require. This exposure to microbes is a simple factor of evolution, and it's just going back to the basics because they do so much for us in our gut that we cannot do for ourselves.
So when someone asks, and it always happens, like, do I need to take a megaspore or a probiotic for the rest of my life? The answer that I love so much is, well, you would still have to go out to the yard or the farm and pick the potatoes and eat those every day, coated with, you know, spores and dirt and all that. So to supplement them, yes. Right. What's your answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a basic part of our functionality, right? So, and I hate to have to tell people that, hey, yes, you have to do supplements forever, but it's no different than eating or drinking, right? It's like somebody says, oh, do I really have to eat vegetables for the rest of my life? Can I just eat it for 2 months and then be done? You know, well, no, right. It's a very basic functionality. It's a consumable resource in your body, right? So it's not like you do it once and you're done. It's no different than exercise. It's no different than meditation. All of the stuff that's really good for your system, which is a consumable resource, you have to consume it on an ongoing basis. It should be just part of your lifestyle, right? There are lots of supplements that you would take just intermittently or for very particular reasons, for a particular amount of time, but there are certain foundational things that you need in your system to function properly forever, right? And again, like I said, if you go off and you go, you know what, forget this rat race, I'm gonna go off and live on the side of a mountain and you're gonna grow your own food and you're gonna be in the soil and all that, then you absolutely do not need it, right? But if you're living a normal modern lifestyle, you need to gain that exposure every single day.
Okay, all right, so let's dive into this topic, the gut and the brain connection, the microbiome and the brain connection. You know, I once was talking to the incredible Tatis Karazian and I made the mistake of calling it the mind. He's like, it's the brain. I'm like, oh my gosh, of course it is. It's the brain. But for those of us who are lay people, right? The mind and the brain, obviously they're, you know, the same thing, but different mood, that kind of thing. How can we have our microbiome in the gut? How can we impact that to make our brain better and our mind?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting when you think about it, because it's kind of like the mind is the outcome of the relationship between the gut and the brain, right? Because the mind is your perspective and your interpretation of things and all of that stuff. And all of that is dramatically affected by your gut and brain connection. So let's talk a little bit about the tissues and the physiology there, which is really interesting. You know, remember when you were an embryo? Rhetorical question. Hopefully you don't remember when you were an embryo, but you were in your mama's, birth canal, in utero, and you were developing as an embryo. Now, an embryo is a single cell biological unit, and then it multiplies, right? It starts multiplying as the fetus is growing. What's interesting about that is different parts of the embryo, the cells differentiate into different types of tissues, right? There are parts of the embryo that differentiate into muscle tissue, into heart tissue, so smooth muscle cells, cardiac muscle cells, then it differentiates into your skin and your teeth and all of these things. So it's, but the parts of the embryo that turn into the brain is the same part that turns into the gut lining, right? So the gut and the brain come from the same tissue at the embryonic stage. And from day one, the gut and the brain are intimately connected through something called the vagus nerve. And the brain part of the gut is the enteric nervous system, right? So every square millimeter of your digestive tract, starting from the mouth all the way down to your bottom, is covered with a very, very elaborate network of neurons called the enteric nervous system. The enteric nervous system, in fact, has more nerve endings than your spinal cord itself. It's only second to the brain, right? So many people call it the second brain, or I prefer to call it the other brain, because it has a lot of power and has a lot of capability. So imagine your gut and your brain, even though they're distal to one another, they're connected intimately through a very complex neurological system. And then the bacteria that live in your gut have direct access to your brain through that neurological system, right? Now, the bacteria in your gut also have access to your brain through your lymphatic system. And it also has it through your circulatory system, because the bacteria produce all of these compounds and they can send them into the blood, they can send them into the lymphatic system. And of course, they send them up the neurological system as well in the form of neurotransmitters and hormones and so on. We also know our endocrine system, which is a hormone part of the body, right? All the glands that make various hormones. What we know is that basically our gut can make virtually every one of those hormones, all the hormones that impact your brain, things like serotonin, most of which is made in the gut, dopamine, which affects reward centers of the brain, your sleeping hormones, things like melatonin, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, all of these important things are also made in the gut. And virtually every neurotransmitter that is made in the body is also made in the gut, right? So the gut and the brain are very similar, and it's a bi-directional communication, because the brain will be talking to the gut and the gut will be talking to the brain. And all of this happens in many ways outside of our own understanding and control and knowledge, right? It's happening every single moment of every single day. And the lining of the gut is absolutely identical to the lining around the brain. And that's another very important thing to think about, because we all now are starting to understand and appreciate the issues around leaky gut. Leaky gut also means leaky brain, right? So all of these things intimately connected. They're distal to one another, but they're intimately connected, and they control one another in large part. And we can get into how the gut becomes toxic to the brain, how the gut can be supportive to the brain, and so on. But yeah, there's lots of examples of this. I'll give you just a couple examples of how just a quick shift in the gut will actually change the brain in a dramatic fashion, right? So I just saw an article, I was reading this article yesterday about this child who at the age of around 6 or 7, all of a sudden her personality completely changed, and she became dangerous to herself, to her sibling, to her parents. She became quite violent, acting out, threatening to kill people, threatening to kill herself, massive anxiety, outrage, 2-hour-long tantrums, just completely different than what she was before, the previous 7 years, right? And then all of a sudden, they were trying to figure it out. Of course, she underwent psychiatric help. None of that helped. In fact, it got so bad that the parents had to board her in a psychiatric hospital for like 10 days, mm-hmm. right? Imagine that as a 7-8-year-old child. Undergoing, taking medications and all, none of that helped. And at the end of the day, they finally met with an astute physician, and they realized that she had a staph infection prior to this happening. And almost immediately after having that staph infection, taking a course of antibiotics, right, all of these symptoms came on, right? So there's a condition called PANS and PANDAS, right, that is now becoming more and more well known out there, which is related to infections by bacteria, and then the potential impact of the antibiotics that are taken because of the infection. Another great example of that is Campylobacter infection, right? Campylobacter jejuni is the second most prevalent foodborne illness, especially when it comes to poultry. And people that get Campylobacter jejuni infections, a common side effect of the infection is a sudden onset of panic and anxiety, right? So the bacteria is causing that. You might still get diarrhea and the common things you associate with gut infections, but you can also get a bunch of panic and anxiety and so on. So there's lots and lots of examples of things that can affect the gut and almost immediately affect the brain and completely change the person, right? Their outlook on life, how they respond to everything, you know, whether they can sleep, all of those things that we continue to think of as psychiatric disorders that require psychiatric modulation through medication really are being driven by the ecosystem and what's going on in the gut.
I mean, there's a mental health crisis in this country, in the world, excuse me. And it's, you know, a lot of people would say that what you're saying is absolutely crazy, no pun intended, but when you start to think about it, it certainly does make logical sense in these situations. And you know, when I see people, this has to do with body mass, but when I see families, I think I've talked to you about this before, where the two kids all of a sudden used to be lean, they're 9, 10 years old now, they're still playing sports, but they're getting obese. And I just wonder, did they have a flu? What did they have? They both took the antibiotics. Did the whole family get sick? And then they're transformed into having a higher body mass. So I do want to ask you about that towards the end. But I've got a question for you right now from Laura Cleary. Hey, Laura. So what's the correlation? This has to do with SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, which is our primary audience here, and depression, other than the results of dealing with a chronic condition. Amen. So
yeah, absolutely.
Can you touch on that?
Yeah. So SIBO is part of the whole IBS spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. And it's pretty clear that IBS, I think it's over 50% of people with IBS also have some form of anxiety and depression, right? It goes hand in hand. And that's becoming better and better recognized that at the end of the day, it's probably the same pathophysiology that's causing the IBS is also causing the anxiety and depression. And that's the same thing with SIBO. So with SIBO, it's the leakiness in the gut, right? So when your small intestine is leaking, if you have SIBO, you absolutely have severe leaky gut, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no way you would not have a leaky gut if you had SIBO because there's so much inflammation going on in the small bowel, in the whole 20 something feet of your small bowel. And there's this taxa shift. You end up with more gram-negative bacteria in the small bowel. So you're producing more LPS, right? Which is lipopolysaccharide, which is part of the gram-negative bacteria. So now what's happening when you have IBS or SIBO is the LPS from the gram-negative bacteria in the small intestine leaks through. And when it leaks through, it enters circulation. Now, LPS can do a number of things that affect the brain. One of the things that it can do is actually it'll trigger something called microglial activation. So your microglia are like your immune cells in your brain, right? And it can trigger macrophages as well. When you have higher levels of LPS and you're triggering an inflammatory response, you get macrophages and all that turn on. Now, one of the things that macrophages do when they turn on because of the LPS, it actually causes your pituitary gland to start releasing stress hormones, right? So now you're activating the HPA axis, right? So now you're being put into the flight or fight response because now you got corticosterones coming out, you're getting cortisol being made, all of these things are going on because your macrophages, your innate immune system is saying that there is something going on, there's an infection, there's an issue in the body, right? So you can actually, the leakiness in the gut, the presence of the LPS can actually trigger the HPA axis. Now, the other issue with that is the LPS itself can actually interfere with serotonin binding, dopamine binding in the brain. So even though you might be producing enough serotonin and dopamine, you're actually not able to bind the receptors in the brain. So you end up getting issues with low serotonin levels in the synapses, right? Which is a definitive function or definitive structural issue when it comes to depression, anxiety, even things like autism spectrum disorders, right? There are serotonin issues involved. So then on top of that, you have pathogens that can proliferate in the gut. And when those pathogens proliferate in the gut, because you've got this massively dysbiotic gut, then the pathogens can produce neurotransmitters that actually create panic and anxiety, right? I explain how Campylobacter does that, right? Certain types of Clostridia can do that as well. E. coli LPS can create that effect as well. So you've got like a double, triple whammy when you're dealing with an inflamed bowel when it comes to the brain. You've got LPS that can directly interfere with the serotonin dopamine binding, and you've got LPS that can trigger an inflammatory mediated stress response is what it's actually called. And you can look that up. You can look up inflammatory mediated stress response and understand the whole mechanism under which just inflammation will trigger stress, right? And then the last thing is you can actually have pathogens that are growing in the system that actually produce toxins that create anxiety and stress. And you could have all three going on at the same time, right? So it goes hand in hand with those gut conditions.
Well, and since Dr. Pimentel has like basically been mapping the small intestine, the E. coli, the food poisoning, creating these antibodies that impact the migrating motor complex. But if that's why post-infectious IBS, post-food food poisoning infection, so then it overgrows in the small intestine. So if you have had your SIBO from food poisoning, think about that. That's E. coli. That's the other foodborne illnesses. So that's like such a direct connect. It's not even funny.
That's Campylobacter, Pseudomonas, Staph, Strap, Klebsiella, all of them. You know, they're all candidates in this. Yeah. And then, you know, as your gut becomes more leaky, and I've talked to this about this audience before, as your gut becomes more leaky, one of the first organs that takes the brunt of that is the liver. And so now your liver is not producing enough bile. And because it's not producing enough bile, it allows more microbes to grow in the small intestine, right? And you're not sequestering your fat soluble toxins and all that to get rid of the body. So you're building up a toxic load in the system. And then of course, you're not eating carbohydrates and fermentable carbohydrates because it creates this terrible side effect. And so then your large bowel bacteria, whose job it is to produce things like short chain fatty acids, which counteract all of this, they're not able to produce those short chain fatty acids because you can't get all of the starches and all that into your system, right? So it's just a double triple whammy, and it's really unfortunate, but they go absolutely hand in hand. Gut issues go along with brain issues or mood issues. And in fact, there was a big study, I think it was with Finland maybe, but it was a big military study. And what they showed was that the stress associated with basic training, right, through the military, during your military training, causes so much leaky gut. Then they take these individuals and they put them in stressful situations, like in combat zones and so on. And then that causes a severe inability to deal with the stress around you because now your system is compromised. Your HPA axis is kicked on all the time. Your flight and fight response are going off all the time. And that HPA axis turning on actually turns on your sympathetic nervous system and not your parasympathetic nervous system. It doesn't allow your brain to get into the right brain waves to be able to relax, sleep appropriately, calm down, activate the parasympathetic. So what they found is that that's a big part of why soldiers are so susceptible to post-traumatic stress and all that. Besides the fact that they're put in, you know, really compromising situations, it becomes even harder for them to deal with it because they're being set up with severe leaky gut during basic training, right? So if the gut is compromised, it becomes impossible to deal with life. And that's just the plain fact of the matter, right? So the logic would then say, if you can manage the gut to a certain degree, you should be able to help yourself manage the stress and mood and the other disorders, right? Sleep and so on. And that's really where the research is going. Because think about this, the profession of psychiatry, you know, and I don't know if there's any psychiatrists listening to this, but I've talked to many psychiatrists before. The profession of psychiatry has not changed in 50, 60 years, right? It's been the same approach, right? It's the same anti-anxiety meds. And in fact, they've just kind of changed combinations of them here and there, you know, but it's the same compounds and it's the same SSRIs, right? The same serotonin selective reuptake inhibitors. Same concepts, same things being done over and over and over again for the last five decades with really no good results. So the really awesome integrative psychiatrists that are taking, you know, the next leap into understanding how the gut and the brain affect one another are the ones that'll make significant progress in the way of mood disorders and so on, because they're going to incorporate this really important other brain that's here in the digestive system.
So when it comes to the probiotics to help our brains, right, and our moods, what is your advice? You know, like what can we do to, so a couple of questions. After you take antibiotics, what's the protocol? Mm-hmm. And what can we do to help our brains? And the other question I know is floating around is, which came first, leaky gut or SIBO? Which do you mm-hmm. treat first, leaky gut or SIBO? And so I'll throw that your way.
Yeah. So the first part of the question, you know, so I think you have to think about it a couple different ways. When we're talking about how do you work with the gut to help the brain, right? I think number one, you have to start with reducing how the gut can be toxic to the brain, right? So that's step one. If you're in a place where you have inability to manage stress and your mood is off and you can't sleep, it means that your gut is already leaky and it's probably acting in a toxigenic way towards the brain. So that has to stop first. And then you can start working on having the gut support the brain, right? So so the first part of that is dealing with leaky gut. And leaky gut is absolutely critical. And then I can answer the third question as well with this leaky gut and SIBO. I would say that leaky gut made people susceptible to SIBO. And so the foundation of SIBO starts with leakiness in the gut, right? Because the couple of key factors that allows the leakiness, allows the accumulation of organisms in the small intestine beyond that 10 to the 4 CFU level really is the stasis in the bowel, right? The stasis in the bowel, the inability for the bowel to move, the lack of migrating motor complex, lack of peristaltic activity, that starts the issue. The compromised stomach acid, right? So that you're not getting this huge influx of gram-negative bacteria from your mouth going into your small intestine all day long, every minute of every day. All of those things are a factor that are components of leaky gut and a dysfunctional digestive tract. And so I think those are the things that allow for SIBO to happen. And once SIBO happens, it perpetuates all those things even further, right? So it's a self-perpetuating cycle. So I don't think you can make any significant progress with SIBO without addressing those basic issues, the leakiness in the gut, the taxa shift from gram-positive to gram-negative bacteria, the dysfunction in the liver, the compromised stomach acid, all of those things, right? Those are all things that have to be addressed as well. Your question about antibiotics, I think, you know, if someone has to be on antibiotics, which there are lots and lots of good cases and reasons to be on antibiotics, but we also do want to make sure we're protecting our microbiome while we're on it. So what we like to do is we utilize the spores during the process, during the course of antibiotics, and we use a triple dose, meaning we use the Megaspore, and then we use the Restore Flora, which has Saccharomyces boulardii in it. And then we use HU58, which is a single strain. We use two caps of the Megaspore, two caps of Restore Flora, two caps of HU58 while you're taking, with each three meals of the day, while you're taking the antibiotic. And then we keep up that dosing for about three times longer than the course of the antibiotics, right? So if that was a 10-day course, you would do that whole thing for 30 days after the antibiotic course is done. And that's really just there to support your microbiome. We've got a study published showing that the spores can really support the really important structures within the gut lining that get compromised from the antibiotic. It can kind of reduce that tendency of the microbiome to move towards leakiness. That we were able to show in our published study as well. So the spores can be really supportive in that case while you're looking at the use of an antibiotic protocol. And so that is critically important. And I typically recommend to people who have been dealing with SIBO as well, they can use that same kind of protocol in a way to start to modulate the microbiome in the small bowel as well, right? So those are important factors in trying to make that shift within the small bowel itself, which the small bowel in most cases of SIBO is a continuous infection, if you will, right? It's unwanted bacteria at an unwanted growth level.
Right. It's a little bit different than an infection, just for those of you who are new, just because that word gets really confusing. So it can even be good bacteria that's overgrown. It's just like out of control. But that's why you call, you refer to Megaspore and the spores as the gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. Because tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that they do really well, which is a fascinating aspect of spores, is their ability to kind of modulate the microbial environment, right? So they are orchestrators of balance within the microbial system. When they go in there, and this is, again, a factor of the symbiogenesis, right? We've given them a home, and one of their jobs is to balance out the ecosystem in there. So they come in and they can read the microbial environment through something called quorum sensing. And when they find overgrown or problematic organisms, they'll actually go sit around it and they'll do a bunch of things to compete with those organisms to bring their levels down. And then they also produce compounds that enhance the growth of beneficial bacteria. So they play this orchestrative role in modulating the microbiome, which can be very powerful as an outcome for people to bring back balance in that ecosystem. Because remember, a lot of the problems you're facing started off with an imbalance in the ecosystem, right? Yeah. So one of the critical foundational things you need to do is bring back balance to the ecosystem, or the problems will continue to persist. You can, you know, kind of clamp down on some symptoms here and there by doing certain things, but the underlying problem is still there because the underlying problem was driven by an imbalance in your microbial ecosystem. So that has to be addressed, whether you're dealing with mood issues and sleep and so on, or you're dealing with primary gut issues like issues that come with irritated bowels and so on. So you need to address the ecosystem, and that's a foundational thing. Now, the spores will be extremely beneficial and helpful in that regard. They will play a really important supportive role for that gut ecosystem. And then there's lots of other things you can add on to that, right? So number one, managing stress. Stress has a counter effect on balancing the ecosystem. And that's your brain influencing the microbiome, right? So when you are stressed, when your stress levels are elevated, and of course, some of that elevated stress is being driven by a dysfunctional gut. And so, but if you allow yourself to be put into stressful situations, I posted a video on this. Just think about this practical life scenario, right? You're driving down the highway and someone cuts you off and you have to swerve a little bit. The natural instinct is you're mad at that person, right? So you're going to maybe honk your horn or flip them off. And then you might get into some across the car exchange with them. And that's going to elevate your stress levels, right? Or, you know, following threads online, you know, about this and that and COVID and politics and all that stuff. And there's no logical outcome to any of that, right? Like right. You can go on there and argue with people all day long. You're not going to change their mind. Yeah. You know, all they're doing is messing with you and you get stressed, you get worked up. So every time you induce that kind of stress in yourself, what's happening is your hormones, norepinephrine and epinephrine are increasing, cortisol is increasing. Pathogenic organisms in your system, including viruses and bacteria, are designed to sense an increase in stress hormones. When they sense an increase in stress hormones, that's when they proliferate because they know that the host is compromised at that stage. So that's their opportunity. That's in part they're called opportunistic pathogens. They will then start to proliferate. So all of those instances of stress that you put yourself in are actually growing opportunistic pathogens in your system. And then when they are overgrown, they will in turn create compounds that create more stress in your system because they want the host to be at this heightened stress state, which compromises your immune response so that they can't be detected, right? So be practical about that kind of stuff, right? Like, so for me, for example, early on in the pandemic, I was doing lots of interviews about COVID and all that. And then I was trying to help and engage on certain messaging threads about this whole situation. And I came to find out pretty quickly that there's not a lot of reason in all of this. It's you're one way or the other based on lots of other reasons, right? And it's not about science anymore. And so I completely divorced myself from all of that, right? Because I know there's no logical outcome in those engagements. And so I just stop. And because it causes you stress, right? And I don't need to cause stress in my life. And the same thing I practice when I'm driving. If somebody cuts me off and you know what? Yes, I could get mad and honk the horn and flip them off and show them and display to them how unhappy I am with their maneuver, but I'm fine. I didn't go and crash into the wall, right? My journey is going to continue just as I planned, hopefully. And so I don't need to engage in that, right? Because that's not good for my microbiome. That little incident is going to increase the growth of pathogens in your system, which compromises your brain, right? So you're, and keep in mind, all of these inflammatory compromising processes that I'm talking about that affect your mood also affect the long-term health of your brain, right? These are the exact same pathologies that lead to long-term neurodegeneration, right? And we all know the conditions associated with those, right? So even though now we're experiencing it as stress and mood disorders and lack of sleep, over time, it's the same inflammatory damage that's going on in the brain that leads to chronic dysfunctions in the brain. So be very cognizant of that. Those are the things you have to start working on so that you don't give yourself any undue increase in stress. It has a huge impact on your body, right? So some bit of meditation. I try to practice listening to an app, 5-minute meditation before bed to put your brain in the right waves, and then 5 minutes when you wake up in the morning, right? There's lots of good apps for that. I try to practice exercise. Exercise really helps burn off some of those stress hormones that may accumulate in your system. Just putting your body through a little bit of physical stress, right? Whether it's lifting weights or 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you don't have to be at the gym for 2 hours, right? Or doing some sprints on your treadmill for 7-8 minutes. That's enough to burn off some of that pent up hormonal energy that comes along with stress. Because remember, when you're stressed, the chemicals in your body are designed to make you run, right? It's the whole flight or fight response, right? You're supposed to burn it off by running for your life, and then you stop and you rest and you recover. But we're not running anywhere when we feel stressed. So it all builds up in your system, right? And then diet, sleep, all of those things play a huge role in how healthy your microbiome is and thereby how balanced your brain is. And then finally, it alters your mind. When you have balance and appropriate communication between the two, the side effect of it is a balanced mind.
Lot to unpack there. We have some questions for you. And how much longer do I have you for?
Sure, I have like another 10 minutes. I could take
questions. Okay, great. Okay, yeah. We have to answer. So thank you for that, by the way. Phenomenal presentation as always. We're going to go quickly. So Carlene, who's a longtime fan of yours, a longtime person who's a wonderful woman who's been in our community for so long. What specific foods feed? I can't pronounce this. Can you pronounce that?
Let's see, where is it? Oh, Fecalibacter prosnitzii. Yeah, great question. So Fecalibacter prosnitzii loves resistant starches. They love, you know, things that are in, for example, sweet potato, you know, roots and tubers like yucca and cassava and so on. They love those types of resistant starches. If you're not able to eat those things because of SIBO-like symptoms, you can try an oligosaccharide. Like what we use in the prebiotic is a kiwi-based oligosaccharide, and that specifically feeds Fecalibacter prosnitzii. So there's a product we have called Mega Pre, and the main purpose of that product is to feed Fecalibacter prosnitzii, Acromantia, and all of these important keystone species within the system, and you don't need a lot. You know, you could take a half a scoop, which is a couple grams, and you can drink it throughout the day. Take small sips of it throughout the day, and it'll dramatically increase fecal and bacteria. Now, just taking the spores themselves, we have a study showing where you just take the spores themselves, you can increase fecal and bacteria and acromantia by almost tenfold just by taking the probiotic, even without feeding those microbes anything else, in part because the spores, like I mentioned before, help support the growth of other bacteria by producing compounds that those bacteria like. Right. Now, in addition to that, taking in some polyphenols will help as well. And of course, you can get great polyphenols from healthy wine. You can get it from dark chocolate. You can get it from colored fruits and vegetables, you know, so that some treatful ways to help your fecal and bacteria and your acromantia in your gut.
Also, Atron Teal, our friend Ken Brown, Dr. Ken Brown, it's full of polyphenols as well. It's the supplement. So from Hope, this is, again, a lot of words I'm not going to pronounce. I'm going to show you this. There's another brand out there called Pre4Pro. Viome, another company that does stool testing, is highly recommending this now. I wondered if this is a good prebiotic to go with Megaspore probiotic. Well, we just heard from Karen talk about their prebiotic, but here's what can you see that?
It's coming into view. Yep. So I'm familiar with this product. I've looked at it quite a bit, quite extensively to see if it's something we want to use. And here's the thing about the product. It's not an actual prebiotic. It may function to some degree like a prebiotic. These are actually bacteriophages. So these are viruses, right? Mm-hmm. And they were released as a bacteriophage product. With the idea of going after E. coli, because these are bacteriophages that are designed to go after E. coli. Because remember, a bacteriophage is a virus that targets bacteria, right? Not versus a virus that targets our cells. So even though it's called Pre4Pro, the translation here is that these phages somehow feed bacteria. But to me, you know, I mean, we've got lots of foods that act as amazing prebiotics. So I would prefer to stick to the prebiotics that are well-known, well-tested, and we've been consuming for millions of years as a species, right? So polyphenols, resistant starches, carbohydrates that are fermentable carbohydrates. I know many of you may not be able to eat those, but there are some that you may be able to consume at small amounts, if you will. Those are kind of the key oligosaccharides. I mean, your first food was oligosaccharides, right? Oligosaccharides are the quintessential prebiotics, and that's what we like about them.
Any impact on vitamin B6 and B12 when taking Megaspore?
Yeah, so one of the good things is as you increase your diversity in the microbiome, your microbiome produces all of the B vitamins, and they produce it in the methylated form. So you get really good, healthy production of B vitamins. That's one of the functions of your microbiome. And in fact, you can test your microbiome's ability to produce B vitamins using the BiomeFX test. Right? That's one of the functionalities that we measure in there. You can look at various vitamin production. You can look at short chain fatty acid production and so on. So you really do want your microbiome producing some of your B vitamins for you because it's also being produced at the site of absorption, which is really positive and great. And that comes with increasing diversity in the microbiome. And Megaspore does help increase the diversity within the microbiome.
We're going to keep going here fast. I'm using now Mega Probiotic. I wonder if that's Megaspore. I think so. And it makes me super bloated. Can I stop it and keep with the rest? I think Consuelo is probably on the total gut restoration.
Yeah, you know, what we say is work through that. I mean, some people get different Herxheimer reactions, which in some cases it can be bloating, loose stool, and so on. And that can happen when there's a change going on in the ecosystem. You know, I mentioned earlier the one of the key factors of these spores is they start balancing out and changing the ecosystem. And some people will experience that as side effects that are really not favorable for a few days, in some cases a few weeks. And what we tell people is just scale it back, right? The full dose is 2 caps a day. Just go to like a half a capsule a day or half a capsule every other day for a little while, and then scale yourself up, go from half a capsule to 1 capsule every other day, then 1 capsule a day, and then 2 capsules a day. You'll be able to build up or taper up to the comfortable level. And that kind of change is not necessarily a bad thing in the beginning. It's just, it's indicating a change that's happening in the ecosystem within the gut.
It's like good news, bad news. Like, it's a bummer that you're bloated, but it's also like, yeah, it's working. Mm-hmm. Something's happening here. Amber, I'm going to answer your question after Kieran leaves, because I have a answer for you about IBS there. Christina also asking about the unhealthy organisms traveling into the brain from the gut, like fungal overgrowth, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, Kieran, would it be appropriate to say that in the past, we didn't understand that the central nervous system was running up and down the spine and that those nerves endings were there and the little discs and the spinal column. Now we know about that. It's a huge communication superhighway. This is also now what's really emerging with the microbiome and the brain as like what hopefully 10, 20 years, maybe 5 years from now, this is going to be common knowledge. Like it is about the structure of the central nervous system and the spine. Is that what you feel?
Absolutely. And keep in mind that even in your cerebral spinal fluid, it's full of bacteria and viruses, right? That was a shocking discovery because we thought certain parts of the body have to be sterile. If not, they're quote unquote infected and something's wrong. Like our blood, we used to think blood is relatively sterile. Blood is not. Blood is full of microbes. Your cerebral spinal fluid is full of microbes. So inevitably, your brain is going to become full of microbes as well. But you could have overgrowths and you could have infectious bacteria making their way up there, right? Everybody knows about meningitis. That's the infection of the meninges, which is surrounding the brain. So you can get dysfunctional microbes making their way up there, but that's probably a rarity compared to the more daily effect of the dysfunctional microbe byproducts, like the toxins and the LPS and so on that continuously make their way up.
Can you quickly repeat the protocol if you're on an antibiotic, the 2-2-2?
Yep. So it's 2 megaspore a day and 2 Restore Flora. That's the couple of spores with Saccharomyces boulardii, and then 2 HU58, right? You're taking them, you know, 2 each with each of the meals throughout the day, assuming you have 3 meals a day. It doesn't matter which one you take first, second, or third, as long as you're getting 2 of each throughout the day. You do that right at the start of your antibiotic course, or even if you have a day or two before to do that, that's great. And then you take that same protocol for 3 times longer than the course of antibiotics. So it was a 10-day course. At the end of that 10 days, you want to take that protocol for the next 30 days as well. We've also had people have success with that if they have severe dysbiosis in the gut, right? If you suspect an opportunistic organism or something like that is overgrown and dysbiotic and has been for some time, we have them do that protocol, and that helps bring back some balance into the system, because that's a good aggressive amount of the spores and so on, and they're going to go in there and, you know, compete with those microbes.
So Karen, who's sent in a question, I think it might be on Facebook, I think that answers your question as well in terms of the dysbiosis. How do you diagnose leaky gut in general? What do you tell people for that?
You really can't with, there are some surrogate markers that we call them, which are markers that presume the presence of the condition, but there isn't a good package at your doctor leaky gut test right now. But you can be pretty safe to assume that you have leaky gut. If you're watching this, it means you've got issues, gut issues in particular, maybe mood issues and so on, and you've got leaky gut. It's inevitable. Right. I mean, when we did our first study, we surveyed, 100 relatively young people in their mid-20s was the average age, no chronic illnesses, no reported conditions, any of that. And 55% of them had severe leaky gut. Right. So if you're an adult and you have some sort of health issue, especially a digestive issue, you've got leaky gut. And there's no harm in working towards resolving the leaky gut, for your life, right? That it should be a lifestyle that's designed to maintain the integrity of the barrier of your gut lining.
So this is a big one. We may have to wrap with this. Why don't probiotics taken orally translocate from the stomach to the small intestine and become SIBO? Or put another way, is it ever possible to give yourself SIBO by taking the wrong probiotics?
Yeah, that's interesting. So, I think there's probably...
I think it depends on your underlying cause.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it depends on the product too, right? So I think they're fortunately, the vast majority of probiotics that you guys have access to will die in the stomach. So you're not taking in viable organisms, right? So, like, let's say you go to the store and you buy that 200 billion CFU multiple strain mix of products that is kind of the quintessential product now you see on the shelf. If you took that every single day, the logic says, yes, I am introducing lots and lots of bacteria into my small intestine right now. Is that really going to impact my SIBO? The logical answer is it's probably not, because most of that bacteria is dying in your stomach anyway, and it's just dead bacterial debris going through your small intestine and your large intestine, right? But that's also an issue with most probiotics because you're not really delivering live microorganisms. Now, when you take something like the spores, number one, we're taking relatively small doses compared to conventional probiotics. We're taking about 4 billion CFUs per day. And number two, the spores are designed by nature to spend only a given amount of time in the gut, and then they resporulate and they leave the system, right? So they don't sit and accumulate in any given area of the gut. And when they are there, they're actually fighting against things like overgrowth. So they're actually there to lend a helping hand, and then they're designed by nature to go, you know what? We get lots of exposure to these in the natural world, of course. And so spores design themselves to go, okay, we're here, we're going to clean up the environment, and when we're done, we're leaving, right? So then we don't have a natural accumulation of any given species within the system. So I would say that this, and that's one of the reasons why it makes me concerned with a lot of those very high dose probiotics, right? The 100 billion, 200 billion, 300 billion. The 99% of the time, those products don't have research on them anyway. So you really don't know what they're doing in the gut. And if you follow the research out of one of those key Israeli academies, they've done two studies now showing that those kind of kitchen sink products with really high doses actually compete with your own natural bacteria after the course of an antibiotic, right? They actually slow down the recovery of your natural bacteria because they're getting in there and kind of competing for space and so on, because they're of the same kind of species and genre, right? So I think hopefully gone are the days where people are using lots of these kind of kitchen sink, what I call kitchen sink probiotics, with lots of species dumped in and just 50, 100, 200 billion CFUs, especially ones that don't have studies on them. You know, so I would, my biggest precaution to people is if the probiotic you're considering does not have a clinical trial on the finished product, that finished formula that you're actually going to be consuming, then you have no idea what it's going to do in your system, right? And if the product has studies on the different strains that are in there, but the strains have studies on their own, it doesn't mean that you combine all these strains and all of a sudden you have this collective benefit, right? So you do want some degree of studies on the actual finished formulation so you have some sense of what it's actually going to do in your system.
Karen, I know you have to go. We pushed past the time. Thank you very, very much, sir. I'll make a couple of announcements after you go. So thank you so much. We appreciate everything you're doing. And I'll tell everybody about how they can watch the other videos that you've done for us. So make that next meeting and we'll talk to you later. I'm going to interview you later in the week for the Biological Dental Summit coming up. So
Awesome.
looking
Look forward
forward to
to
that.
it. Thank you so
Yeah.
much.
Thank
Thank you, everybody.
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Karen. Thank you so much. Well, that was amazing. I always learn so much from him. We've done several of these webinars, and there we have a whole Karen Krishnan library at sibosos.com. And all if you go to our Facebook community, you can click on any of the announcements about his events, and it'll take you there. But for clarity's sake, I will put that in the next email that we. It takes us a little while, so give us a couple of days. But then I will put the link to all his whole library of all of his webinars that he's done with us on leaky gut and gut restoration and the immune system. Really fascinating about that. So it can be easy for you guys to see it. Some of them have transcripts, some of them don't. Also, if you didn't hear the beginning, if you want to order anything from Microbiome Labs, which is Karen's company, he's given our community SIBO SOS a special discount. So it's 15% off, which is big, your first order. And that is with patient direct code SIBO SOS. Usually you have to have a practitioner, but he's given us this because of his direct relationship with you and with me. So it's patient direct code SIBOSOS. And then to get the 15% off your first order, it's DigestionSOS. So he has been helping us for many years now in the SIBOSOS community. He was in my documentary that I did, DigestionSOS, back in 2017. So, I mean, he's amazing. I'm so glad you guys were here for this. Thank you. I wanted Patricia, by the way, Patty in Sarasota. Hi, I lived there for decades. Loved it there. Used to live on Lido Shores. I have my yoga studio there. Good to have you here. Amber, why do most doctors consider IBS a trash can diagnosis? Well, it is a diagnosis of exclusion. And so it means that you don't have Crohn's, you don't have IBD, you don't have on and on and on, right? So that's kind of good news, but what do you have? So that's why I like the IBS smart test from Gemelli Labs. You can probably just type in IBS smart. Actually, go to SIBOSOS.com, go to the shop, and you have a discount if you want to take this test that they've only given to us. And that is, it's like 25% off. It's awesome. And it's a blood test to show if you have the antibodies from food poisoning that could be leading to IBS. So they have proven that food poisoning causes IBS. And as Dr. Mark Pimentel, who's the creator of this test, will tell you, it's like two sides of the coin. IBS is SIBO, SIBO is IBS. So that's a huge underlying cause for SIBO. And SIBO is the number one underlying cause of IBS. So check that out, Amber. I hope you are still here to listen to that. And then Laura, I don't know if you're the Laura who wrote the big book. The book is called Idiot. Laura, you're not an idiot. You have elevated CRP, so do I. I do think from talking to Kieran in the past that the Megaspore does help with inflammation. And also for me personally, this is just me, I find that when I really am loyal about staying off of gluten, I don't have celiac, I just find that it causes for me higher CRP, because I've had a very high CRP for a very long time. When I eat gluten, I know it goes up. That's just me. So I just thought I'd share that with you. And then Daphnia, what's the mechanism of the gut, the vagus nerve, and the diaphragm spasm and anxiety? He talked quickly about the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. And parasympathetic is relaxation. Sympathetic is fight or flight. And parasympathetic is rest and digest. So the way I remember it, because I couldn't keep them straight for ages, is please have sympathy for me. I'm stressed. So that's how I remember. Sympathetic nervous system is fight or flight, running away. I need support. I need sympathy. That's a bad situation. When you have a life where you're living more in the parasympathetic rest and digest mode, like when you have a massage and you have that bliss afterwards, when you meditate and you're calm and peaceful, whatever these, you know, experiences are where you're like truly relaxed, that is a place where inflammation can reduce, by the way, Laura, but also where the vagus nerve can function more effectively. And it does go back and forth, brain, gut. But if you have a spasm, my suggestion after doing all this research, I'm a patient advocate, patient just like you, I have had a diaphragm that was spastic and it is incredibly painful and you feel like you can't breathe and it's terrible. But there are some body workers that could help you with that, perhaps, depending on what is driving it. Is your back out of place? Do you need a chiropractic adjustment from someone really special and great, not just twisty, bendy, snap, crackle, and poppy? But that's where maybe cranial sacral could help. And why do you have a spastic diaphragm? Also, the Arvigo Mayan abdominal massage has been very helpful for me personally to help with relaxing the diaphragm and improving my breathing. And I'm a yoga teacher, so I appreciate, you know, what you're going through, and I'm very aware of my breath. So Daphne, yeah, that's my thought for you. What is the third item in the antibiotic protocol? Did he say H258? No, he said HU58. And so be sure if you're ordering it to use the digestion SOS patient direct code and SIBO SOS patient direct code and digestion SOS coupon code. Clarissa, do you have that in the chat? Can you pop that in the chat, the link? It's all on SIBOSOS.com. Go to shop. you'll see the Megaspore, click on it, and it's, I think, preloaded. If you go to the chat, Clarissa, who's helping us behind the scenes, has just posted the link. And then how to connect with community, if not on Facebook. Yeah, I know it's off. I'm glad you're here now. If you're not on Facebook, I don't know the answer to your question. I wish I did. Make sure that you, I take it you're on our email list, and that's how we have you here. So I wish there was a better way. I don't know what to say. I'm working on Instagram, getting better on Instagram. YouTube, go to YouTube. SIBO SOS has, we have a channel on YouTube that's tiny right now, but we're building it. And then Lourdes, do you think the results for the hydrogen and methane are the same with Genova and TrioSmart, not the sulfide portion? So Lourdes, you're talking about the SIBO breath test. The I like aerodiagnostic labs for SIBO breath testing. Gary Stapleton, who's the owner of that lab, is incredibly committed to the SIBO community. And that's always my personal first suggestion. So, I mean, the TrioSmart is amazing. Oh my gosh, if you can do the TrioSmart, do I think that it's the same as the Genova and TrioSmart? I don't know. I would say TrioSmart is the most cutting edge right now with the three, if you want to know about hydrogen sulfide, hydrogen and methane gases. Like if you're curious about what your problem is with SIBO, why wouldn't you want to do the TrioSmart? So at least if you could find out if the hydrogen sulfide was impacting anything. I don't know, that's my thought for you there. For high CRP, Marie, I use turmeric. And I also use Megaspore for the high CRP. That's me. I love both of those things. There are other discounts. Go to SIBOSOS.com. Go to shop. We have discounts on enzymes from Steve Wright, on Tributarin X from Steve Wright. We have discounts on the IBS Smart Test. We have the lowest price on Atron Teal in the country. Just click the links and it'll take you there. So it's all pretty straightforward. I see, Lourdes. Were you doing them all at the same time? Because you've got three tests. Did you do them all at the same time? That would be interesting. I would say that they are very similar. That is allegedly, you know, they're different techniques. So I don't know if I'm answering your question or not. Okay, let me... 6 months apart. Yeah. I think you're in pretty good shape. Genova, I don't know as well. Okay. Let me put it like that, as TrioSmart and Aerodiagnostic Labs. Makes me a little nervous. So this is my new book, Healing SIBO. It is on Amazon and it has some wonderful reviews. So thank you if anybody's on here and bought it and reviewed it. Yesterday it was on sale for $18. I think it's going to be some of the best $18 you spend. You know anybody who's an author? You know you don't make a lot of money off of books, so it's not like I'm trying to like buy the book. I'm going to be rich. No. That is, so what is this book? There are 40 recipes that are SIBO friendly, but this is basically everything I've learned over obsessing about SIBO and IBS in the past 5 years. Dr. C. Becker, world-renowned SIBO specialist, read every single word. She wrote the foreword. Dr. Pimentel just gave it a rave review. If you are curious about a lot of the things that we're talking about here, if you're wondering about SIBO, wondering about breath testing, wondering about underlying causes, this is the book I wish I'd had 5 years ago. So that's why I wrote it. And all these projects I've been doing is actually because my spiritual teacher told me, you know what, Siobhan, you really need to write a book. What happened was that I am a TV person. So I was like, I'm going to do a summit instead because that's easier for me. And so I did the SIBO SOS Summit 1 in 2017, SIBO SOS Summit 2 in 2017, and then the IBS and SIBO SOS Summit in 2018, then the Microbiome Rescue and Gut Rescue Summit, and then the documentary Digestion SOS Rescue and Relief for IBS, SIBO, and leaky gut. It's been a busy few years because I have this mission to get as many people informed about all of this as possible because I didn't know it. I was shocked by it. The GI doctor originally that I went to did not know this information. and it made me really miss. Like, I don't want anyone to go through what I just went through. So that's why I'm doing all of this. Now, different topic. The Lymphatic Rescue Summit is coming out in 2 weeks, April 19th. If you're at all interested in your immune system and the lymphatic system, please open the emails that we're going to be sending out about it. Go to the Facebook group, go to healthmeans.com, and you can register for it. You can see schedule. Clarissa, do you by any chance have a link to the, oh, thanks. I'm glad you guys bought the book. She's so good. It's in the chat. You can click on the link. It's free April 19th for like 9 days. My mother had lymphoma in the 90s. I know how to do a good summit with half of them being masterclasses. I wanted everyone to get educated about this under-talked about system of the body, especially with all the immune things going on. Next, I just want you to know that in June, we are re-airing the Digestion SOS docuseries for free. So be sure to open those emails, you know, stay in touch. And then in September, I have a brand new summit on biological dentistry, because in all these conversations I've been having with all these experts over time and my own experiences, there is such a huge component about oral and dental health that is not being talked about in the mainstream. And that also is making me mad. So I'm doing a summit on it, and this wonderful doctor, Dr. Jerry Curatola, if you don't know who he is, he's an amazing biological dentist. He and so many of his colleagues are joining us for that. Also half masterclass, half interviews. I love interviews, but I like masterclasses too, which are these half hour PowerPoint presentations that are just like, as if they were at a medical conference, giving that kind of information and with slides and everything. So I wanted you to know about that. And I think that's about it. Don't forget, go to microbiomelabs.com, patient direct code SIBOSOS, discount code DigestionSOS. There is another coupon code coming. They don't last for very long. And the gal who helps Karen with it was off on Friday and off today. So we're waiting to talk to her tomorrow to get that coupon code. And we will put it in the email that we're going to send out to you with the replay, and we'll put it in the Facebook group so you can take advantage of an additional discount. And it's not going to be on your like first order. It could be on additional orders. So, because they're like, you know, if you've already started, I don't want to punish people who have already like done their first cart, and then you're not getting additional discounts. So every time that he comes on, he's so generous and gives them an additional discount. All right. I think that's it for now. Food poisoning and high oxalates. You know who's great at oxalates is Donna Gates, Body Ecology online. She's magnificent with oxalates. And there's another person, and I'm not remembering her name right now. Google the name Beth and oxalates. I think her name is Beth. Does anyone else know anybody who is an expert in oxalates? I've never heard of the relationship between food poisoning and high oxalates, so that's really interesting. I'm sorry you're going through that. Have you been tested for SIBO? Have you been tested for IBS? Have you taken the IBS smart test, which shows if you have the antibodies after food poisoning that could lead to post-infectious IBS, which could be mimicking the symptoms of high oxalates? I'm not saying high oxalates don't exist and aren't a problem, but, ooh, Reb, thanks. We got to try the low oxalates Facebook group. Okay, great. Beth O'Hara, thank you, Lourdes. You knew it. I knew you knew it. Thank you. So that is exactly who I was talking about. I love her. Mast Cell, M-A-S-T-C-E-L-L 360, mastcell360.com. There's a low histamine. I think she has also a low oxalate list of foods. So that's what I would do. Donna Gates is a book that you can request from some public libraries. Great. She has a great website, lots of blogs. She's a friend. But then it's Beth O'Hara. Thank you. April 8th, I have an interview with Body Love Cafe. What's today? Today is the 5th. That's right. So on this Thursday at 7 p.m., Dr. Zachary from Body Love Cafe and I are going to be on her Facebook page. She's pretty amazing. So Body Love Cafe, you could check that out. And Julie Matthews. Thank you, Anne. That's right. That's the other person I was trying to remember. I haven't met them yet. Julie and I have exchanged emails. It's Julie Matthews and Beth O'Hara. Those are the two I would go to, along with Donna, about oxalates and histamines and mast cells. Whew. Thank you. I'm going to write that down. Okay. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to let you go. And I will see you soon, maybe on that Facebook Live on the 8th at Body Love Cafe. And be sure to sign up for the Lymphatic Rescue Summit. Now I'm going to hang out for a few minutes because Clarissa has put it in the chat, some great links. Where is the book available for $18? Well, it's on Amazon. I think the Kindle is a little bit less expensive. And I think I don't know how much the Audible is, but the Audible was done by an award-winning actor. She is amazing. And she has done the Audible books for a lot of very famous people. And when I was talking to her and I was told that she was going to be doing my audio book, I was like, oh, great. You know, I knew she was great. I didn't realize how great she was. She's like this amazing top level actor for audiobooks. The price is usually $20. So it's only $2 more if you aren't able to get it today. But, you know, I like every little bit counts. Also on page 111, just because I'm still talking because people are still here. So I'm and letting you guys go to the chat to get the link. If you have SIBO, you need to know about this. This is the literally SIBO recovery roadmap that was created by moving clouds. Hang on for a second. That was created by Dr. Mark Pimentel. Can you see it? It's not very clear. There you go. I'm hold still. Created by Dr. Mark Pimentel, and then this was added onto by Dr. Allison Seebecker and Dr. Steven Sandberg Lewis. So page 111 is 110 is a treasure of taking you through everything we go through in the SIBO recovery roadmap course that Dr. Seebecker and I created. It handholds you through every step, and those are the steps that you want to take. Okay. I'm a vegetarian, moving clouds. And so this book is 40 vegetarian recipes, 40 plus for SIBO friendly food. Here's why I did that. First of all, if you're vegetarian, it's really hard if you have SIBO. But second of all, let's say you want to put a chicken breast on any of the, you know, you want to pick your protein. I literally say that in the book. There's easy mashed potatoes. There's delicata squash with 5 spices. Zesty lime pie, you're not putting a chicken breast on that. You get the idea. Dressings, the broccoli cheddar soup, roasted artichoke hearts, quick pickled cucumbers and carrots, angel eggs, which is my name for deviled eggs, but they're really good. So I made them vegetarian because anybody who's not a vegetarian, just put your own protein on all of the savory main dishes. So there you go. We just popped the link in the chat. Okay. What did I want to tell you? If you are really struggling with SIBO, I would definitely get the book and I would definitely do the SIBO recovery roadmap course, but I knew what I was forgetting. Okay. If you buy the book and maybe you bought the book, go to Clarissa, can you put the link for the book page, which is or email us at info@sibosos.com because you get a 4-hour course called SIBO Essentials that Dr. Seebecker and I created free when you get the book. And just today or yesterday, I got an email from someone saying, oh my gosh, thank God for the course. So it's like a mini course. It's like an introduction to the SIBO recovery roadmap, but it is very, very good. And there are even some updates in there about hydrogen sulfide, et cetera. So that's what I wanted to say. I appreciate you all. Clarissa, do you have the book page you can pop in there? Oh, well, like if they bought the book, where do they need to go to get the, okay, just email us at info@sibosos.com and we'll give you instant access to the SIBO Essentials series, which people buy all the time for like, I think it's on sale right now for $35, but like every day several people are buying that course. I'm like, Did you not get the email? Buy the book. You get the course for free. Trifala is a mild prokinetic. It is a, or trifala, some people say it that way. It's a mild prokinetic. It is a combination of three, like tri, Ayurvedic formula, you know, herbs to help with digestion. People love it. I love it. I'm half Indian, so I'm predisposed to liking it. But SIBO Essentials is $39. Thank you, Clarissa. It used to be $99, then we made it $79. I was like, let's just make it $39 and let's get everybody to watch it. Then I was like, let's give it away when they buy the book. So that's what we're doing. So if you have bought the book and you don't have that class yet, email us at info@SIBOSOS and fill out the little form. Clarissa will hook you up. Okay, anything else? Anything else, Clarissa, in the background? Didn't I write about trifala in the book? Trifala? And also it has Dr. Seebecker's SIBO specific food guide. It was really great of her to let us use that. I'm telling you, this is very thorough. Well, it doesn't look like it's made the index in the back, but it is a mild prokinetic. It's weird because I could have sworn it was in the book. And it is very, people love it. I love it, as I said earlier. So just because it's not in the book, in the index anyway, doesn't mean it's not great. It's great. But I thought it was in there. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you. I'm going to wrap up. Don't forget to get that discount. Don't forget to get your, when the email comes with Karen's replay, click on the link and it will show you all of the other classes that he's done for us, which is fantastic. And they're all free. And then it'll also give you hopefully the new discount code. And we'll give you the current discount code too, for all of you who are first time shoppers. All right, which is 15% off. Use SIBOSOS.com. Or SIBOSOS is the patient direct code, and then DigestionSOS as the discount code. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate you. Talk to you later. Thanks, Clarissa. Thanks, everybody on Facebook.